Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As always, we're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We're scheduled to be joined shortly by Titans fullback Torrey Carter. Looking forward to that conversation. He seems like a really fun guy, so I'm looking forward to this conversation, Rexrode.
Yeah, and maybe next segment, for those who didn't see, the Titans did they mic'd him up for the first preseason game. So for those who did not see that or hear that, maybe we can play a little bit of that next segment, because it's good stuff.
It is good stuff, no question about it. So looking forward to that conversation with Torrey Carter coming up here in a few minutes. And to his credit, has carved out a role for himself on this team where, you know, the fullback position, it's been interesting to see how that's evolved over the years, because if you've been a Titans fan for a long time, like, you remember when they first got to town, everybody talks about Steve McNair and Eddie George, and certainly that was the, you know, the go-to combo there. But Lorenzo Neal used to create some big holes for Eddie George to run the ball. So it's been interesting to see how that position has evolved since then. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans fullback Torrey Carter. Torrey, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. What's going on?
Not much. Just getting ready for another work day, man.
Absolutely. So what's it been like the last couple of days having a different team in town with Tampa Bay? Is that kind of a welcome thing this time of year when you're a couple weeks into training camp? How does that kind of shake things up for you and the rest of the players?
You know, it's just it's always nice to be able to go against someone that's not your team every day, be able to get different looks, and, you know, just the enjoyment of a little competition. You know, it's fun.
Did you get in the middle of that? It was quick and kind of chaotic yesterday, Torrey. Were you in the middle of that little scuffle at all at the end of the practice?
Unfortunately, I was not trying to stay clear of the fighting these days.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is obviously these things, I mean, this happens. I don't know that a joint practice, that especially over if they're 2 days, and they typically are, ever happens without some of that, right? But obviously you guys went through most of those drills and everything was fine. Little bit, it looked like Leonard Fournette and Jeff Simmons, you know, got a little bit. Now of course, that's the LSU. Could that be an LSU Mississippi State thing? Like, do you have a, you know, like, where's Mississippi State on your rival list as an LSU grad?
I mean, it's up there, but it's not the biggest. I think it's just, you know, simple fact that it's the SEC West. You know how that goes. Everybody's good in the SEC West. We all love to compete. All kind of cut from the same cloth.
Yep, no question about it. Torrey Carter, Titans fullback, on with us here on Robbie and Rexrode. So, Torrey, how's camp gone for you so far? What's kind of been some things that you've been working on out there as camp has progressed here?
Oh, I mean, camp's been going great. Just trying to get back into the swing of things as far as, you know, practicing and football and just trying to get 1% better every day, trying to come together as a team, as a unit. As a position group, just trying to get that 1% better every day and working toward the end goal.
Torrey, what kind of mindset does it require to play fullback in the NFL?
You gotta have some grit. You gotta be willing to do the dirty work. And you gotta not be ready to take a lot of credit for things, but always bring energy and juice. You know, it's a quite different position, but it's a fun one to me.
Well, how much pride do you take in that? Because it's we were talking about this before you came on. You've done a great job of kind of carving out a role for yourself with this team. How much pride do you take in doing that dirty work that sometimes goes under the radar?
I mean, I love it. I love being part of a team. I love being able to contribute to a team. And, you know, that's kind of always been one of my things. I like to be able to contribute in the best way possible, whether that be playing fullback or anywhere else they want to put me on the field. Just being able to contribute is a huge, you know, part to me of just being here. You know, it doesn't really matter what I play, where I play. Just being able to be on the team and contribute.
How about just, you know, blocking for Derrick Henry? And I know, like in camp, of course, there's not a ton of that once you guys get into the team and get pads on and stuff like that. But what is that like to block for Derrick Henry? And was there any particular run or moment last year where you felt a special sense of pride? You had a particular amount to do with a particular run he had last year?
I mean, having a great running back behind you as a fullback, you know, is always a dream come true, first of all. And then you got not only a good running back, a great running back, you got Derrick Henry, a running back that's bigger than you, so that's even more fun. I would say probably my most favorite play last year that I had with Derrick is probably in the Colts game. We were running to the left, and he broke free to like the five. I was super fired up, had a good block.
Who did you block? Sorry, you remember who you blocked?
It was a safety. Not sure who it was, but it was a safety. But Derek made a cut right off my block and had a nice explosive run. And that was just kind of one of the first ones that I was able to make for him. But I remember it hitting, and I was just super fired up.
Titans fullback Torrey Carter on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Torrey, you were a part of what many people consider to be the greatest college football team of all time back in 2019 with the national championship winning Tigers. What was it like from your standpoint to be a part of that group and to go on that journey and finish it off as maybe the greatest college football team of all time?
Oh, well, we're definitely the greatest college football team of all time. There's no question of that.
There we go.
But man, the time that we all put in together, cause pretty much the 2019 season, I came in with all those guys that left after that season my freshman year. So we were really able to build and grow throughout the years and learn a lot about, like, myself and, you know, the culture of the guys we had around us. And I took away a lot of things from, you know, each individual person. But playing on that team, I think definitely helped me build a foundation to see what work's supposed to look like and what winning's supposed to look like.
So, Torrey, staying on LSU, you know, what do you think about the change to Brian Kelly? I don't know if you've been able to, like, you know, been follow along. I know you're busy right now, but do you think his Southern accent, Louisiana accent, has improved at all, you know, since that first attempt at the Hoops game?
Yeah, I'm sure it has. I know personally, for me, when I first got to Louisiana, all it took was a couple months, and I was using the Louisiana slang terms pretty well. So I'm sure he's getting used to it, getting his slang right. But yeah, I haven't been able to really keep up with it as much. A lot of my people that were there at LSU with me are gone now, but you know, that's my school. I hope they have a big year this year and keep it grow.
So what's your favorite Louisiana slang term that you picked up, and do you still use it?
What's am?
I like that. It's good stuff. Titans fullback Torrey Carter over this here on Robbie and Rex. So, Tori, the Titans put out this cool video of you mic'd up in the last preseason game against Baltimore. I'm just curious, for maybe younger teammates, rookies coming into the league, what's your advice as they're going through training camp for the first time and through the preseason? What do you try to say to those guys?
Man, just take advantage of your opportunities. They come far and few if you take advantage of them. Whether you're not going to be on this team or not, if you put good stuff on tape, you'll be found, and someone will appreciate you and take you in and trust you and grow you. But biggest thing is just take advantage of your opportunities and play hard, because at the end of the day, whatever you put on tape is who you are. So that's kind of what I try and spread to the younger guys that just came in. And that's what a lot of vets told me whenever I was coming in. So I just try and spread the knowledge.
Tori, what's your thought just on this offense at this point? Obviously, some changes up front. Some changes at receiver. You guys bring in Haskins now also as a rookie. A lot of change, but also the foundation is still there. Where do you think you guys are in camp right now, and what do you think the upside is for this offense this year?
I mean, we're always going to pride ourselves on run, but I think the biggest thing is creating that unity, trying to build a foundation, develop individual roles, and develop a team at the end of the day. And, we're just trying to prepare to win each week and just take that week-by-week approach. I'm excited. I think we've been putting in a lot of good work to get to our end goal. But, we still got work to do. We're still going to be working at it every day.
Titans fullback Tori Carter, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Tori, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And good luck to you coming out throughout the rest of training camp here. We'll talk to you soon.
Sir, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good morning.
Absolutely. You as well. Tori Carter, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, if you juiceless, you useless. Let's get it. Hey, bro. Let's get it, baby. Let's get it. Woo! Hey, go make some plays, baby. Hey, that's what you live for right here. Our opportunity to play in the NFL.
There we go.
You got it. Go get it.
Turn it up, baby.
Turn it up. That's what energy and passion. Let's go, Racy! Let's go! Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right? Really like that. Really like that.
That's Titans fullback Tori Carter mic'd up against the Baltimore Ravens last week. Little vocal out there, Joe Rexford. I like it. Good stuff from Tori Carter.
So one thing about that is go check out the video at the Titans official Twitter account. So the one part where he's like, like making those sounds, it's like he's blocking a guy, but it almost sounds like he's doing martial arts while blocking the guy. It's kind of cool. He's like sound effect grunting along with like the movements. It's kind of cool.
He's a lock to make the team, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, he's the only fullback, and they've definitely got some plays using a fullback. Obviously they do some gap stuff running the ball with the fullback. I'm trying to think. I feel like he caught a couple passes last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, he didn't actually.
Maybe it was preseason.
Yeah, maybe it was preseason. I know in college, he had he had a touchdown as a sophomore. Yeah, he caught a few passes in college here and there. He had 16 for 157 and two touchdowns, in fact, per his bio. So, but no, he's a, you know, they had Kari Blossom game before him, and it was kind of apparent last year, like, okay, this is a different level of physicality with Torrey Carter. If you put a highlight tape together of him, there's some crunchers in there. And of course, special teams is a big part of that job too. Plays with abandon. And, it's when you find guys who play with that kind of abandon, you know, that's a big part of your football team. And even if there's just one big block or something, that can be an energizer for a team. I think he's definitely on the team. I think you've got three running backs and him, and then Cannon would be the fourth or the fifth in the room if he makes the team.
So throughout camp, obviously Derrick Henry, we've reached the point of training camp where we're not going to see him very much out there, which is totally fine by me. I don't think you need to see Derrick Henry all that much. But from what you've seen of this running back room out there, has it impacted the way that you think they'll use Derrick Henry? Do you feel like they've got another runner besides Henry that they trust to run the football in this offense this year? How do you think that's going to shake out in the running back room with the Titans, knowing that, you know, Derrick Henry, regardless of how it works out, as long as he's healthy, is going to end up getting a ton of carries. And it's going to be, I think, you know, kind of pick your spots with everybody else.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And even if you're not right, they're not going to tell us beforehand. And there's nothing you can tell along those lines now, obviously, because Derrick Henry's in the sand pit. By the way, David Beauclair asked him about the sand pit yesterday, and he's like, hey, why don't you come do it? That was pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, Beauclair's been legit, like, man. Watch out, Derrick.
Beauclair is. He's kind of rocked up a little bit now, I will say. But I believe they should try to think in terms of workload reduction a little bit. You know, Haskins has looked good. I don't know that he's looked amazing. He did have the run over Logan Ryan yesterday. I thought he looked good catching the ball in the preseason game. As I've said, I think Julius Chestnut's good. He came out with the ones with the offense one of these 2 days. I think it was yesterday. Came out with the ones. He's the running back. You know, and obviously they started him back home in the opener, but does that mean anything? I don't know.
It has to mean something, right? Like, Vrabel's not just going to start the guy because they're going back to where he was, right? In terms of his hometown. Yeah.
Well, I hear you. Could it mean, like, are they trying to push Haskins? Like, you should be here. You should be outperforming this guy. Is that what it is? Maybe. I think if you went and pulled everybody who covers the team, you'd get 100% Hassan Haskins is on the 53. Julius Chestnut is not on the 53. That's my guess now, too. But it is interesting. And Chestnut looks good. Like, if you just took away numbers and identities and just watched those two guys perform on a play-by-play basis, I don't know that there's much difference, you know? So now they invested a high pick on Haskins. And again, I don't think he's been bad, but I just think they may have found something in Chestnut. Maybe it's going to be Mekhi Sargent all over again, and I'm going to be fooled again. But I don't remember Sargent. Well, I actually don't remember at all who got reps last year, although training camp totally translates to the regular season. Maybe he's just Sargent, but he's worth talking about. But to actually get to my answer, I think the most likely, and I mentioned this the other day, but I think the most likely guy to take some workload is Dontrell Hilliard, because he looks terrific out there. And he looks terrific mostly as a pass catcher, because that's how he's being utilized in that third down role. But also, of course, he's getting some of these carries, and we saw him carry the ball last year. And I think he's the second best, clearly the second best running back right now on the team.
I think that's good if you're the Titans. I do wonder, with his third down role anyway, how much does he just get – like, could he take a series away from Derrick Henry? Like, that always ends up being the question for whoever, like, the backup running back is. And I've given my thoughts on this, and it's not changed all that much. I think it's easy to have a plan. I don't even know if the Titans do have a plan to limit his carries. I think it's easy to have a plan. I think it's much more difficult to stick to that plan when you're in the game with Derrick Henry, and I think that's probably going to be the case again this year, given the fact that he's seemingly completely healthy and ready to go. But the question always is, like, do you have running backs? Do you have an option back there that you feel good about? Maybe giving him a series off in the second quarter, or maybe stealing some carries for him in a game where instead of 31 carries, he's at 24 carries at the end of the game. I mean, those things add up over the course of a season. Could Dontrell Hilliard be that guy? I'll tell you this. You know, he had some fumbling issues last year. He also had some big runs. I mean, he was gashing the Patriots in that game. They also fumbled the ball in that game too. But he had some big moments last year running the football for the Titans.
Yeah, and they drafted Haskins to maybe even down the road be more than his backup, you know, be more than a backup. But it seems like they drafted him to be the guy. If they're going to give a series to someone else, it would be him. And maybe that's exactly how it plays out. Because like you said, if Hilliard is out there all the time and he knows when he's got to be out there, and look, you never know. Like you said, you can have a plan and you may be down multiple scores in the fourth quarter and Hilliard's on the field the entire time. So maybe you don't even want to get into that stuff with him, you know, giving him a full series. I don't know. I'm just saying he looks really good. And I think that at the very least, he's going to be an upgrade at third down back. And I think he and Tannehill, like he's just, I heard TD talking about that. Someone, I don't remember who TD said it was. He was talking on Jared's show, TD Power Hour, about someone, maybe it was Chris Sanders, said that he runs routes like a receiver, which is interesting. TD asked Hilliard, and, you know, I guess he just kind of laughed it off. But he's, like, those little choice routes and stuff, I mean, he's very shifty, and I feel like he's worked really hard on that. So there's just been some eye-opening moments, I think, with him in this camp, catching the ball, making diving catches, getting himself some really nice separation out there against some good players. And one way or another, he's gonna be an upgrade. There's a lot of parts of this offense that, you know, are better. Doesn't mean it will overall be better, but he's one of those things that you shouldn't just ignore.
After watching Henry in camp so far and the limited stuff that we've seen him do, do you feel any differently about him heading into this year? He kind of looks like full-strength Derrick Henry to me.
Yeah, going back to early when he did more than I expected in team stuff, he looked terrific. And so that's the same. You know, now again, he's out there. He's doing the sand pit stuff, and he's here and there. He'll do, like, if they do walkthrough speed, he'll do team stuff. But, yeah, he looks just like Derrick Henry. Unless he gets hurt, then – he's Derrick Henry, and although we have questions about that offensive line for sure, he's still just as difficult to tackle.
Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tonight for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Looking forward to that coming up later tonight at 6 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' last couple of days against the Buccaneers as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
How much, man? Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So we were just talking about Dontrell Hilliard and the role that he could have with this offense. What have been your observations of his camp thus far, and how big of a role do you think Dontrell Hilliard could have given a hopefully completely full season from Derrick Henry?
Well, I think he's going to have a big role, primarily as a third down back or a change of pace. And the thing that's good with him is he has that speed. So when you bring him in just to give Henry a break, you still have a home run hitter in the backfield. And really, in my opinion, the best thing is his pass-catching ability. And you saw that, especially in the last couple hurry-up periods where Tannehill was going his way consistently. So I think when you look at his ability to run routes like a receiver, he'll definitely be a big part of the passing game and still give you a plus in the rushing attack.
All right, sticking with the running backs, TD. So I like Julius Chestnut. I also noticed that he came out at least one of the last 2 days, you know, with the ones offense, first play. Am I getting Mekhi Sargented in thinking like he's at least somewhat impressing this coaching staff, or is there something more there at all? And how would you compare him and what you've seen of him so far to what you've seen from Hassan Haskins?
Yeah, he's definitely earned the right in the coach's eyes to be working with the first group, and he got the start last week against the Ravens. So clearly he's done something. The fumbles, you know, he's had two of them, one in the game, one in practice, but they like the way he runs hard, and he's a big back. He gives them, another opportunity to bruise opposing defenses, but I don't think he makes the roster, but he definitely will be there, in my opinion, towards the final cuts, and he could be a practice squad guy. And just as compared to Haskins, I think with Haskins, he's a little better catching the ball out of the backfield, and he's someone that they've talked at length about trusting in pass pro. So that's one of the areas where, typically a young running back, that's an area for improvement. But for Haskins, it's an area of strength. So he's definitely impressed from that perspective.
So, TD, with all that being said, you've got Hilliard coming out of the backfield catching the ball. Kyle Phillips seems to be turning some heads throughout the whole camp so far. I have no idea how many snaps Kyle Phillips is going to get throughout the course of the regular season, but in terms of outlets for Ryan Tannehill, how important is it to have, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and maybe, a true dedicated slot receiver in Kyle Phillips? What do you think that does for Tannehill this year?
Well, it does a lot because Tannehill likes to throw between the hashes in the middle of the field, and that's primarily where your slot guys are going to work. Then you do have the choice routes where you could break the route out towards the sideline as well. So that's an option. But I think really for Phillips, it's the trust that he's developed with Tannehill, as far as knowing that he's going to be in the right place, knowing he's going to come down with the catch. And that's critical for a quarterback to have that, especially on third downs and even in red zones. I could see that being an area where, Tannehill would go to him also.
TD, this has to be the football preseason, college or pro, with the most discussion of backup quarterback that I've ever taken part in. I guess it's no surprise because Malik Willis comes in and there was going to be a lot of focus on him. But Jared, I thought, asked a good question yesterday about the reps for Willis, more reps than Woodside, this week. It makes sense. This is their opportunity. Like, Willis is going to be scout team guy in a few weeks. Uh-huh. This is the opportunity to get him in that offense as much as you can get. But I kind of take it like Woodside would – it's very doubtful Woodside loses the QB2 designation. But I don't know. Do you agree with that, or how did you interpret his answer?
Well, that's how I interpret it. He – more or less is Woodside, that is. He's showing they know what they have in him. They know what he could do. He's one of those backups that doesn't need a whole bunch of snaps in order to be able to, get ready to do his job of backing up Ryan Tannehill. So I think you're right when you look at the development part of things. That is something that, is right there to happen now for Willis because, as you mentioned, you're not going to get that opportunity during the season. Like, once training camp is over, a lot of that is over and done with as far as the player development. So getting as many reps as possible within this system is essential for Malik Willis. And that's really what they said, right? They said that they want to get him trained in this system. So that tells you right there.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, TD, we talked about, you know, Caleb Farley, Roger McCreary, Elijah Molden, just the secondary battle taking place right now at the corner position. When everybody's healthy, how big of a challenger do you think Roger McCreary is to be starting come week one against the Giants, be that inside or be that outside?
I think he's a huge challenger for both of those positions. But this is the thing the way that I look at this, right? The starter title, like, it'll be cool to have, but I think all those guys are going to get plenty of reps. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's cool. Like, you know, you got your family there and they say, you know, number three out of Virginia Tech, Caleb Farley. That's cool. But there's going to be a lot of reps for all of those guys. And I think, you know, once Molden is healthy, that's going to be the case too. And that's my opinion of it.
All right, TD, Saturday night, look, I'm not going to lie. And I don't sit next to you at home games, which stinks because, like, your enthusiasm for football, when I'm next to you in a press box on the road, like, I just get jacked, okay? But I'm struggling to get jacked for this game Saturday. However, I am excited to watch punting Saturday night because I think that punting and punter is really interesting right now at the Tennessee Titans. Do you agree? And who right now do you believe will be punting for the Tennessee Titans in 2022?
It's hard to go against Brett Kern. I know Stonehouse is doing an excellent job of booming the football. He had a 60-yard punt. But I think with Kern, you have the been there, done that for one, but then also you have the directional ability. He's able to – it's almost like a video game where you have the controller and you could kind of hit the button – one way or the other to where you want the ball to land, and that's how Kern is. So I'm going to go with Brett Kern.
TD, the last couple of days for the Titans against Tampa Bay on the practice field, two pretty good days by the defense. Now, obviously, there's no Brady and no Evans and no Godwin, all these different things. We know this, but what did you take away from the defense? What do you think we can take away from the defense and their performance against this Tampa Bay group?
The front is going to be dominant. I think it starts with Jeffrey Simmons, and he had a great day, both days. He gave that interior offensive line all kinds of work. So you got that. I think you have emerging guys on the outside, and Ola Adeniyi and Rashad Weaver. Those are two things. And I like the secondary. Christian Fulton especially, you know, he told me he was disappointed about going out there and not having Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, but he said he dominated the twos and the threes, and I think he did have an outstanding day.
So Dylan Raidens basically gets the first day with the ones. Nicholas Petitfrere gets the second day with the ones. I'm not going to lie and say I have a great feel. I mean, they both went against good players. Got a really good look at times. You could tell they were going against really good players, right? Especially with Raidens and I think it was Hicks on the first day. But you feel any more clarity on that situation, TD?
No, I don't. And that's a tough one because it doesn't seem like either one are really separating themselves from each other. So it's I guess these joint practices Saturday, tomorrow the game, and then the joint practices against Arizona. It's going to continue to be an opportunity for the coaching staff to evaluate them. And it seems like they're neck and neck because they're alternating, you know, first team reps on particular days. So there's no telling, honestly.
Let me ask you this. And I know it's hard because, like, you know, we're seeing these guys, especially when they go up against this front, they're getting great looks, right? But it's still hard for me to know, like, if you compare how they've performed in camp to how David Questenberry played at right tackle last season for the Titans. Well, what would you say to that?
It's comparable because it's just under the radar, right? And the only time you really – that's the thing that's interesting. The only time you really notice is when something terrible happens. Like, you look at the Akeem Hicks. He had a really good pass rush against Raidens. It's like, oh, yeah, there's Raidens. you know, but otherwise you don't really notice them. So that's kind of a good thing, but you do want to see sometimes those blocks. And even on Raiden's part, that same day, a few reps after Akeem Hicks got him, he did a good job of sealing the edge and allowing Hilliard to bounce it outside and have a long run. So there's good and bad, and that's really, for the most part, anytime you're going to recognize an offensive lineman anyway. So I would say it's very comparable. It's not dominant, but it's getting by, I guess you would call it.
Looking forward to the preseason game coming up tomorrow between the Titans and the Bucs. TD, thanks for taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Coming up next, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are your racing station, 1025-1063. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for Go Bowling at the Glen. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as he talks. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nate, already with a call shot on the text line, says Joe will sue when the Stilly and Pauly show goes live and Joe doesn't get a cut off the revenue. His call shot of the week.
I've retained a lawyer in advance, so I hear you, Nate. It's a good thought. Believe me, I've thought about that. I'm playing chess over here, okay? And I will get my cut of Stilly and Pauly. Trust me.
No question about it. So, Joe, how did we do last week on Call Your Shot Friday, of which I was not a part of?
Okay, last week. Let's see here. I said Nicholas Petitfrere will start at right tackle on opening day. It's funny because that kind of contradicts. I think I've even said this week, I think Raiden's will probably be the starter, but then he'll get passed at some point. But hey, it was a called shot. I'll stick with the called shot. I think it's going to be close. I had the New England Patriots will go 6-11 this season.
Oh boy.
And of course, this is me reacting to like all the reports of this offensive disaster of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge secretly calling plays with like new hand signals and stuff. But they looked, you know, Hoyer, you put Brian Hoyer in an offense and you get out of the way, it's going to look good. But that's a shot, but I don't know. I'm worried about them. And then I had Shakur Brown will make the Tennessee Titans active roster, be a sixth corner. And I feel pretty good about that. He had some good moments the last couple days as well against the Bucks. It's going to be close, but I'm hanging in with that one. Michelle had a lot of shots. First of all, she said the Reds will win less games than the Volunteers baseball last year.
Listen, we're still going strong on that.
So, yep. So, and that was 57, right? I think it was 57. You said Jimmy G will not be on a team week one. So that's definitely still up there. Odell Beckham Jr. will sign with the Bills. Seattle Storm will win another championship, which would be, of course, a fairy tale ending. And also something that you will see in person if it happens, and it would be awesome to see it. Serena Williams will win the Cincy Open. When is that?
It's been going on. I'm going up there this afternoon, though, so I'm going to watch.
So it would be this weekend that is the final.
Yes.
Nice.
I think Sunday's the final.
Okay. Awesome. Get some skyline. And then Vingan had a couple shots too. Let's remember Vingan's shots. First of all, he said Matt Ryan will throw two touchdowns in the first quarter against the Lions, and that there will be breathless commentary from it. Now, the breathless commentary, I would say, you know, he's pretty good on that one.
He threw two. He predicted the Lions game. They play the Lions this weekend.
Oh no! I'm sorry. Whatever who'd they play?
The Bills.
The Bills. Yes.
It stunk up the joint.
Yeah. And then he said Malik Willis will show out in joint practices this week, and he will be the backup QB week one. That's a shot.
That is a shot. So with that in mind, Michelle Knezovic, would you like to get us kicked off this week with Call Your Shot Friday?
Yes, I would love to. Okay, first we're going to start in college football. Vanderbilt will beat Hawaii by exactly two touchdowns and the extra point, 14 points.
All right.
At least. And I think they're already down there, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
They're heading out Sunday.
Okay. Rob Gronkowski will play week one with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Really?
I don't believe it for a second that that guy is retired. I just don't. Maybe because he already tried
That's
it once.
A shot.
Will Brady play? Because Todd Bowles seems to have no idea when he's coming back.
We'll see Brady and Gronk out there. We'll both see him out there. We'll hear nothing, and then we'll see him week one. I still have the Jimmy G one, so bring that one back. The Reds are at 46 wins right now. I just counted before this, so we are still going strong with that one.
Eight more wins.
Hold on. Let's stop for a second. You counted the wins, or you looked and the standing? Like, you went through the calendar and counted up each individual
win? I counted each one because on ESPN I couldn't find like a total. So they only had it in like first half and second half. So I counted each individual one.
Wow.
I'm dedicated to this shot, guys.
Man, you love the Reds.
Okay, the Titans will sign, before week one, a backup quarterback.
Okay.
And I was talking about this with Junie yesterday. I'm going to say they sign Mason Rudolph.
Ooh.
Okay? So they stick with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett up there in Pittsburgh. Kentucky football beats Georgia this year in Lexington.
Huh.
Okay. And Malik Willis has two touchdowns Saturday night.
Malik Willis has what?
Two touchdowns Saturday night.
Throws two? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just snuck in that little Kentucky football beats Georgia.
Listen.
In there somewhere. Well, Calipari be upset about that, man. Whew. See that facility crumbling.
And Tennessee football
fingers.
Wins one game. I'm kidding.
Jeez.
I'm kidding. Go. That's not a shot.
I'm writing that down.
Okay.
Your retro, your called shots of the week.
All right, Julius Chestnut, one of my new favorites. He will score two touchdowns Saturday, and we will tread into Mekhi Sargented territory, which is not quite as bad as being Munson, but we may be Mekhi Sargented here. I think TD hit it there, by the way. I think Julius Chestnut on the practice squad this year sounds about right. Malik Willis will start Saturday, and he will play three quarters Saturday. Ooh. He will finish 14 for 26 for 133 yards and a touchdown to Chigakonkwo with an interception as well.
That is extraordinarily specific.
And he will rush seven times for 34 yards.
Okay.
If any of those numbers are exactly right, I think I get the shot.
I think so.
And Chance Campbell will have a pick six. He keeps being in position. He gets these picks. He's going to have a pick and take it back against, let's say, a nice Kyle Trask. Throw into the flat.
Okay. I like that. All right. My college shots of the week. Malik Willis will run in a touchdown for 30 yards or more. 30 yard or more scramble for a touchdown for Malik Willis. Rashad Weaver, two sacks in the preseason game against Tampa Bay. I think he is going to cause havoc. And after the two sacks, they'll probably get him out of there pretty quickly because don't need to get him hurt. So two sacks for Rashad Weaver. Jordan Love. Balls out tonight, three touchdowns. Apparently, he's had a really good week in practices against the New Orleans Saints. So he's going to translate that tonight to Lambeau Field, the preseason game against New Orleans. Three touchdowns for Jordan Love. Three picks last week, three touchdowns tonight, Joe Rexroad. Fired up about it.
I'm so happy that you still believe in Jordan Love. I know you were excited about the pick. You've
yeah,
been
really.
Bullish the whole time.
Yeah.
You've been telling everybody, just be patient. Wait it out.
Probably time for Rodgers to move aside, be honest with you. Get Jordan Love out there.
Oh, God. That almost makes me want to watch preseason football tonight. I probably
See?
Won't, but yeah.
And my final called shot, and we'll get to this a little bit more here in a few minutes. The Nashville Predators will put on the best NHL draft of all time. It's going to be hard to top, like, the quality of the draft from the last time they had it. Like, 2003 was the first time the Predators had the draft.
Shea.
And it was Shea, it was Ryan Suter. I mean, go up and down the list of the 2003 draft. If it's not the greatest draft of all time, it is certainly on the top two or three in terms of the greatest drafts ever. So quality of player wise, it may not be that, although, you know, Connor Bedard looks pretty good. He's probably going number one overall. But the setup, everything involved with it will be the greatest NHL draft of all time. So congratulations to the Predators, who will be hosting the draft next year, and the NHL awards as well.
Yeah. So it'll go, let me get my timing, parade, awards, draft. Is that right?
Correct. Stanley Cup parade.
Yep.
Awards, draft.
Imagine if that happened.
I'm trying to think, did they move the, I guess the awards themselves, were they in the middle of the Cup final last year?
They were, because they were in, and that's the weird thing. Like, I assumed last year that they were planning to do it that way so people would all be there, like in Tampa. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. I don't know how this is going
to work. How lucky could that have been that if that was totally just a pre-planned date and it happened to be in the middle of everybody, all media is there because of the Stanley Cup final. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe they're just back in a rotation now. They're going to do it back to how it's normally been done this past year. I don't know
what's going to happen. Or maybe this does mean the Preds are going to be in the Stanley Cup final. I'm just saying.
Maybe so.
It is Call Your Shot Friday, if anybody would like to take that one.
615-737-1025. Call Your Shot Friday happens every Friday morning at 8:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jill Jelinek from Fox 17. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans. Look ahead to a little high school football action tonight as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.